Did you know that the Pope once tried to ban racing? Or how an Indy driver became the biggest drug dealer in America?
More than $100 million worth of marijuana into South Florida.
Hi, I'm James Pumphrey from Donut Media.
And I'm Nolan Sykes, also from Donut Media. And we're the hosts of the Past Gas Podcast, where we dive deep into the automotive world's most insane stories.
Like when Ford tried to buy Ferrari, or when Evel Knievel brawled with the Hell's Angels.
Evel Knievel just jumped off his bike and punched him.
From the greatest rivalries to simply how a car came to be, we'll cover it all in Past Gas. So make sure to tune in every Monday for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Past Gas Podcast.
It's about cars.
It's not about farts.
I promise.
This is Dead End Sports. This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead End Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me for this special episode, we got Nikki Duse sitting to my left, your right.
What's going on?
We got FIFO 2020.
What it do?
Shelton. We'll be here.
The ghost of Shelton.
Yeah, he'll be here. He's on that real CP time, and I'm not talking about Corona. But if you black, you know what I'm talking about. And sitting in for B, we got, you know, the OG himself, 12 Kyle of the 12 Kyle Podcast.
What up? Out of quarantine, right?
Yes, sir.
You already know.
Get down like the rest of us, boy.
And maybe occasionally you may see my son pop up on stage. He's with me in the studio, so if you see him, that's who that is. He loves the camera and the microphone, so he might run up here real quick for a juice box or some food. But
he's next up, right?
carried it to the next decade.
Right. So, but yeah, man, I posted on Twitter, man, and we're here, obviously, because of everything that's going on in the world right now with sports being shut down. So FIFO suggested earlier this week that we do a special episode kind of just talking about these unprecedented times like no other that I've seen since I've been alive. So yeah, that's why we're here. So I appreciate you guys taking some time. Well, it ain't like y'all got anything to do with
y'all just quarantine,
right?
Right. This is great for y'all. I got easy content.
So I'm going to hand it over to Nick.
What was it, on Tuesday when mm-hmm. the NBA officially shut down? I was in the middle of watching the Denver-Dallas game, and it was a Doris Burke, and I forgot who the other guy was, but they were commenting.
Ryan Rucco.
Yeah, they were commenting as the news was breaking that day, like NBA shut down, coronavirus. Mm-hmm. That, to me, that's when things got like real lifetime serious. Because before then, you saw the reports like NCAA postponing mm-hmm. the March Madness, and then
canceling.
So it's not postponed.
They didn't postpone. Like they said, it was canceled. They didn't play that game. Didn't play that game at all. They were floating the idea of possibly playing March Madness without fans, mm-hmm. but then mm-hmm. they say it's canceled. We're not even doing it.
We talking about the NCAA?
NCAA. Yeah.
Well, yeah. No. I think they canceled due to public pressure. They were going to play. They didn't give a damn about the NBA cancel or anything.
No, 100%. That's what I'm saying. Oh. But what I'm saying is before they canceled, they floated the idea of playing without fans.
Exactly. Oh, okay.
And
okay.
then they just canceled. Like exactly. they didn't go postpone, then cancel like the NBA did.
Which is crazy because I thought... told y'all. Because I thought that they were just suspending it. I didn't realize until afterwards that that's it is done. Mm-hmm. No games, no nothing, no March Madness.
Same
period.
Thing. I thought it was because it seems like everything's just being pushed back to later on this summer or the fall. And like that's March Madness. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, remember the principal that I was telling y'all about or whatever, she was talking about how March Madness is actually one of the biggest gambling and sporting events, and how that trickles back into the economy, how that's really going to hurt the economy on a larger scale, because that trickle down effect is huge. You're talking about some of the it's the biggest betted events mm-hmm. out of any sport.
It's the brackets. Everybody plays the brackets.
Everybody plays no brackets.
No question.
So it's tough, man. I'll put it to you like this. Like I wasn't necessarily watching the game, but what was I watching? I was watching something, and I just remember I heard Doris Burke, or I may have been watching it, but just in the background. Yeah. Like I wasn't like paying attention to it. And then I just remember somebody saying, oh, yeah, the Kings game got canceled. And I'm like, okay, that's different. And then once the King game got canceled, then they Rudy Gobert tested positive. And once he tested positive, it was a wrap.
Because that was breaking news for me in the chat. Like, I don't know who, if it was you or B who posted that, or maybe you, Kyle. Like, the Gobert thing. Because, like, they, Utah and OKC postponed. Like, they stopped.
They were like,
let's wait on it. We're still getting testing. Gobert showed up a little sick. Mm-hmm. Then it came out that it was actually the virus. And then I was waiting for the Pelicans Kings game because I wanted to see Zion. I don't know if De'Aaron Fox was healthy, but I wanted to see them go at it.
Mm-hmm.
They canceled that too. And I'm just like, man, like, these are like,
that's for real.
Young boys, it's crazy. They try to promote the NBA, and they just like, the virus is taking over.
And I definitely want to bring this up because I think it can get lost amidst everything that's happening. But we may have seen Vince Carter's last game.
Yeah. He hit a three.
And he hit a three.
He hit a three, his last shot. Yep. Yeah, I saw that. It was, I think it's one of the things, like you were talking about, like was so weird was that how the news came. And we're in a society now where everything's instant. You know, I got the message that, you know, Gobert tested positive, and then like maybe 5 minutes later, the NBA is suspended the season. I'm like, wait a minute, what? And I was actually recording a podcast at the time. So I'm recording it, and I'm like, I was on someone else's podcast. So I'm like, oh shit, wow. And I'm talking, and I'm still trying to process.
Your mind is elsewhere.
My mind was elsewhere. So I was like, okay, let me just. And then we finished like right after it was over, and then I started thinking about it. I was like, wow, this is crazy. The NBA is canceling the season, or at least postponing the season. Yeah. And but like you said, with March Madness, these are the people who are in charge of these student athletes, and yeah, they were going to play because they didn't want to miss out on the money, and they figured, okay, well, hey. If we'll miss out on some money or a lot of money, but it's better than not getting no money.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sucks because, like you said, it was going to be here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But I get why it happened. It's just still weird to even think about it because
it's
today,
so rapid.
100%. And somebody like me who watches a lot of sports, I really don't watch a lot of TV outside of sports. So now there's nothing literally for nothing for me to watch.
Watching Dave on FX?
Man, I was watching Martin reruns today. I was like, I can't do this for like the next month.
I was like, you can only do that for a certain amount of time.
About 3 or 4
days. I was like, wow, I watched Martin for about an hour and a half. Then I watched Fresh Prince. I was like, okay, this is enough of this.
Yeah.
And then I flipped to the NFL Network, and they had on a game from, they had a Patrick Mahomes game on for like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, right? Because obviously before things got canceled or postponed or moved back, everybody was floating the idea of playing these sports without fans. How do you feel about that? Because me being a former basketball player, and I really don't hoop like that no more, but you know, I will give people to work.
He always tried to say he retired, but then he be like, I'll come back out for Nick and
them. You see what MJ did at 40. But you know, like especially for basketball and especially for football as well, right? Where it, like momentum and playing off of the crowd is such a major part of it. And not saying that I haven't been part of epic, you know, pickup games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like there's rarely a crowd. It just the other hoopers.
It's not the same.
And yeah, you know, like the game itself has momentum and it has, you know, runs and things of that nature. But you're talking about an arena that's designed for 20-some thousand plus people for it to be empty?
That basketball gonna sound loud as hell.
Yeah. Are you gonna hear squeaking?
Plays, everything.
Exactly. You're gonna actually be able to hear the coach. It's kind of like, how would that look? Like, I just, as a fan, I'm glad that they kind of canceled it because I don't know
how. You didn't want to see that product.
Yeah, I don't.
But even LeBron, I think they were floating an idea around the time when the NCAA was floating that idea. They asked him about it. And he was like, I'm not playing with no fans.
But he also didn't have all the context.
Yeah, he didn't have
either.
All the information. He said that before we knew what we knew. Mm-hmm. And so he actually walked it back. Some people try to criticize him for it, but LeBron is usually on top of this kind of stuff. And he didn't know the severity of this virus and everything. And I knew things had gotten bad when, I think it was earlier that day on Thursday, the mayor of San Francisco said, we will not be holding any events with more than 150 people in an area. And so then the Warriors came out with a statement saying, okay, well, hey, no, we're fans playing tonight. And it was a game supposed to be on TNT. Yep, we're playing tonight, but it won't be in front of fans. I was like, wow, I'm trying to picture, and I think this would have been Steph's second game back.
Yep.
So I'm trying to picture Steph in that new arena with nobody there. In there cheering. And I'm like, I don't know how this is going to look. And then
Steph had that
kind of we kind of floated around the idea. And then that's when you just kind of realize the severity of it, like the possibility of the NBA doing something, and this is before Gobert tested positive.
And we, as sports fans, we complain about that. What, after the NBA season,
of course,
that little between it's just baseball and right, you know, yeah, whatever. Now we have nothing. Like, yeah, even baseball's it. I'm like,
it makes you appreciate the sport.
Boy,
it makes you appreciate the sport for real, because it's, this is what we know, you know, and to take that away. But we understand also too the severity of it. It's, understand this, and we'll get into it as we talk more about it, the level of seriousness that this involves. You know, it's people dying. It's, this is a great preemptive measure to, you know, save people's lives. So mm-hmm. it's also about being selfless. You know, we can be selfish and say, okay, well, we're going to go outside, we're going to be in groups and stuff like that, but that's really not in the public's best interest right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, I have two in-laws that are doctors, and they were talking about it just over the past couple of days, and they were like, you know, it's a real deal, and, you know, we are definitely in clear and present danger. The comparisons to the flu, while I get and understand why people have made them, because it's easy to mm-hmm. simplify for them to understand it, it's flu-like symptoms, right, and people, you know, kind of misconstrue what that means. And I think, but, you know, when you hear mild to severe, mild is pneumonia.
Right.
Like, that's their classification of mild. So, and I've heard, you know, for some of the podcasts I listen to, like, you know, people that have it, and he's talking about just a fever and body aches. Mm-hmm. Then I heard two other people talking about fever, body aches, and then just breathing.
Yeah, shortness of breath,
you barely can breathe. That's when it's like, it's real.
Yeah, yeah. And what they do is, and part of the problem is that ventilators, if people get a pneumonia, because, you know, when it hits, what they're trying to do is, because it's a virus, you can't really give anything to it, you got to starve it, is that they just try to keep you alive.
Mm-hmm.
And until the body starts fighting it. But what happens when you don't have a system around to keep people exactly. alive? And that's when you start making decisions on who gets to live and who gets to die.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that those are some of the things that, you know, people are dealing with, especially with the doctors. So it is a serious thing. I think people have different ways of coping, you know, with it. And I think seeing the cancellations, people are still somewhat in denial.
Yeah.
That is that serious. Yeah. But people also realize, like, dang, man, this is, like, for real.
And that money aspect that you bring up, as far as, like, you know, it's real when they cancel out. Like, you see all these festivals, these tours.
Coachella.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I know a lot of the entertainers who had these tours going on, they have to cancel all. And this is global. So it's like, you can't just go across seas and make your money. It's happening worse over there.
And think about it. Like, those artists, right? Like, they don't make paychecks,
right?
They don't have a boss or an entity that could possibly float them for, let's say, 90 days or 30 days or 60 days or whatever.
They're mercenaries, technically.
They exactly, like, they perform, they get paid. Mm-hmm. They don't perform, and all of these festivals and concerts and stuff get canceled.
And this is peak time for touring.
Exactly.
This is the time that they really make their. So your favorite artist, this is the time that where he or she makes their money.
Yeah, they cancel Dreamville Fest. They canceled, like, I know shows. Erykah Badu was supposed to do something in LA. They canceling everything.
She can show up though. she protected, man.
She's got a lot of incense. That's all it is.
But not only the artists, man, like the local economy in 100%. Those areas. There are people that makes all of their money mm-hmm. or the bulk of their revenue during that time.
Yep.
And some people have to resort to other stuff. For those of you watching, Shelton has arrived, so the two STCs are filled up. So I appreciate you joining us, brother. Just your take on everything that's transpired over the last week.
Man, this has been some of the craziest times ever. Y'all don't understand, man. I read a joke where it was saying, like, you're going to turn on ESPN in a couple of days and they're going to be playing Baby Boy. So I'm like, man, ain't no games on.
Right.
I mean, no sports.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have nothing. We got, Formula One.
And I don't even know if they're racing. I know NASCAR canceled their race.
NASCAR is?
Yeah, NASCAR canceled their race.
I think Formula One has one tonight at midnight. Okay. But other than that, there's nothing left.
I guess I'll be watching that.
Right.
I don't know if I'm that desperate.
I'm that desperate. Man, I was watching the PGA Championship from last year. That's how desperate I was.
That's crazy. But well, they playing some good throwback game, basketball games. So, like, I saw Georgetown.
Anything they could put on the sports related, I'll watch.
Right. Mm. But, man, like you said, it's affecting everything. Because think about it, you know, working in retail, this is tax time.
Mm.
So a lot of your retail stores thrive at this time of year because people getting their taxes back.
They're trying to spend money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now's the time. So these people who normally would be out spending money don't have the money right now. Mm. So and even the ones that do ain't really going outside like that to spend it because they may not be going to work next week. So it's kind of like you said, it's affecting everybody across the board, which is, this is new. And the kids are out of the school thing, man. Being a parent.
Yep. Yeah.
Being a parent right now.
Yeah.
Is crazy because your kids are out of school pretty much indefinitely. Yep. They're saying 2 weeks, but.
Yeah,
they're just saying that just so you don't ask them for 2 weeks.
right.
Hey, when they coming back?
Hey, so I'm thinking, I was like, man, y'all so lucky. We ain't get no breaks like that 2 week break.
Yeah,
with the sun out.
And you know what's crazy? Before we actually turned on the cameras, we were talking about like how deep it goes, especially with the children and the schooling and stuff like this. I actually had a principal that came into the retail location, and she was talking about how in her county, Gwinnett County, 58% of kids don't have internet at home. So how are they going to be able to study and, you know, process schooling and stuff like that if you're supposed to be at home doing it? They don't have that. And then just think about how many low income homes where the only time a kid eats is at school. And now they're not at school. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're talking about like the trickle down effect of this thing is tremendous.
For everybody
involved. And I was also talking about like small businesses, right? Like how the government and Trump wrote off, you know, $1.2 trillion to save the stock market. Well, what about small business? Because small business is the lifeline of the entire country. It's not the stock market. The stock market is a vein, but the arteries and the organs are small businesses, like Dead End, like you know, your the people that cut grass for you and stuff like that. Like what do they do?
Right.
What do they do now? You know what I'm saying? Like I feel, and y'all know I be getting on my political stuff sometimes, but I feel like the government needs to have some type of stimulus package for small businesses. Take care of your people for the next 30 to 60 days.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Well, going back to sports, I was wondering, as far as we were talking about, we started off with the NBA canceling and stuff like that. How do they nullify this season? Do they push it down to the
You talking about the NBA?
Yeah.
NBA
like because we're only a few weeks left.
NBA
in the
is on pause from what I understand, right?
Yeah. So they're gonna start back up over again with
Possibly. I forgot who I was listening to, but they were talking about that this may be that break that the NBA needed and wanted, because remember they've been talking for years now shortening the season,
right?
Doing some type of midseason tournament. I was talking to my brother earlier, like I think a cool idea would be having like a wild card weekend for the bottom four teams to make it to the playoffs, you know, but just shortening up the season and then being fresher for the playoffs. Because let's be honest, if the season, they said that the season is canceled but we're still going to do the playoffs, it's going to be better almost for all of these teams. Obviously, the hiatus is going to slow down the momentum and some of the chemistry and stuff
about.
That you were able to build. So from that perspective, it's not good. However, you talking about fresh?
Yeah. And then Boston.
Physically?
Boston gets a chance to heal because, you know, you got Kemba out with the knee. Philly gets the chance to heal.
Exactly. Everybody's going to come back healthy.
Yeah.
But the way that you can kind of utilize this and what's happening now for next seasons to come is like, okay, we could take 3 weeks off. You know, once we hit 60 games in the season, finish another 10 games, you know, shorten the season by 12 games, give the players another 2 weeks off before the playoffs, and then, you know what I'm saying, have the team, everybody as fresh as possible. So it's weird. It's a weird scenario. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to play out, but at least I feel that the NBA is the best well-ran organization in professional sports. And I think that if they figure it out, everybody else is going to kind of take.
I agree.
You know,
I agree totally. I think you have to look at the leader. We talked earlier about leadership. Adam Silver stepping in first and foremost saying, look, Gobert, you know, like I said, Gobert tested positive. They shut it down.
Yeah.
Because of the simple fact, you do the math. They played, I think, within a 2 week span, they played six different teams. So he's technically exposed himself to everybody he played against.
Right.
So you don't want to get a situation where you get into the playoff, you keep playing, even if you're playing in empty arenas, this guy, you know, his teammates test positive and then maybe somebody else test positive. Now you're taking the players off the court and you don't know who they're exposed
to
as well.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately what's going to happen is, I think the NBA's season is going to be lost. I don't really see them coming back with the
season. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't make
as far as regular season, yeah, but I think they'll pick up the playoffs because whoever's in is in, basically. Yeah. The seeding is already set.
And we know from like a fan perspective who deserves
right,
to be.
Right.
So, and we're not going to throw up a big, you know, fuss over a 7th and 8th seed. No. Like, they're irrelevant.
What makes it even more interesting is that what happens is when you get the teams back on the court, if we put fans back in the arena, mm-hmm. you get teams back on the court, just to see in the, like you said, it's going to take a little bit for the players to get back where they were, but calendar-wise, the NBA is now moving into the NFL's territory, which mm-hmm. is something they never really wanted to do.
But just because, mm-hmm. just with the draft, though, right?
No. If we're talking, let's say the NBA does not start back playing. Let's say they give them some time to do some exhibition, or whatever, just to get mm-hmm. the guys ready. Let's say they don't start the NBA playoffs until the end of May. So you got May, June, July, and now you're mm-hmm. into August. That's football season. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've been, you know, they've never wanted to cross
exactly
seasons
because,
or whatever.
Because football does the biggest TV numbers.
Exactly.
Yes. And the NBA doesn't want to compete, right? And then the other thing is, like, think about it. The playoffs typically start around April 15th, April 20th. Cause I know because it's my birthday is one of them 40 days and 40 nights. Like, I'll be, you know, chilling, watching all types of basketball. So for them to push it back, yeah, they don't want to compete. But also, the NFL has to look at pushing it back.
They're going to have to.
Their draft. Like, I was thinking they're going to have to push back the draft. And that was a question I was thinking of. Does that help or hurt some of these players as far as who is going to get drafted? Because because you know, the more time these owners and stuff, they sit on a prospect, they be mm-hmm. like, that's when you nitpick them even more.
Right.
But here's the thing about the NFL draft. With, I would say, probably 5% of variability, I think that the draft is pretty much set.
Yeah,
they know who they want. They might nitpick. They might not.
I don't know about that.
Well,
the Skins is talking about Tua.
But 5%.
That's just talking.
But Tua gets healthier the longer that you.
I feel you. But just think about where the Redskins are right now. Right? Who's their head coach?
Ron Rivera.
What type of coach is he?
He's defense.
And then who they going? Come on, man. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, right. But he knows a QB got him to the Super Bowl, not that
defense.
The
thing about it is this, especially talking about them, the owner, Dan Snyder, is a fan of
Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
Haskins.
Yeah. Oh, so in saying Haskins. That, it's no. He's the one that's going to make the decision ultimately mm-hmm. to keep Haskins on the team.
I've seen a team trade up for a QB and draft another one the next year.
But the thing about that, though, is, and you do have the sexy pick every now and again. You probably got one or two prospects like Love from Utah State, mm-hmm. the quarterback that's rising up the charts. But for the most part, everybody know what they're going to do. That's posturing and conversation.
And you can, in theory, keep the draft where it is, mm-hmm. in theory, because... Mm-hmm.
Just don't bring anybody there.
Yeah. You can just have the executives. I mean, with technology, you can do that. The NFL is kind of off the hook, really, to some degree, because they don't have to put their product on the field in front of fans until mm-hmm. the end of July, early August.
Right.
The people who are really on the clock is MLB and the NBA.
Yep.
MLB is more so than the NBA because they already have something in place. MLB hasn't started their season yet. They're saying, okay, well, we're going to suspend for 2 weeks. Okay, you suspend for 2 weeks. What does it look like in 2 weeks?
Exactly.
Are you going to bring fans out to your spring training games? Are you going to bring fans out to your opening day games? Are you going to have, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to quarantine these people? Because if not, you're putting yourself in the same situation. And what you don't want to happen is to say, okay, well, we're going to push opening day back 2 weeks. So we're in the middle of April. Somebody tests positive on MLB by the end of April. Now you got to start all over again. You know what I'm saying? Right. The NBA was, in that sense, really was ahead of the curve.
Right. I think they already had a plan in place, too. I think that wasn't an abrupt end. I think that they said, because I've heard it said other places, they said at jobs, so to speak, like if somebody tests positive, we're shutting it down.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. They already knew that. That's not something that they came up with last year.
Yeah, I definitely think they had plan A, B, and C, and D. And somebody testing positive like Rudy Gobert was their worst fear because they knew what that meant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that they were trying to play around it. But
yeah.
Go ahead, Chef.
No, go ahead. Brother.
Well, a lot of, like, the way this whole thing works is that when something like this is happening, those top CEOs get a call.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And they're already given a heads up that this is a possibility. And that's why you started to see so many cancellations, because they already knew well in advance that this was going to turn into an outbreak. So this wasn't a fly-by-night decision or whatever. That's why the NBA looked like it was, you know, wavering back and forth, because Adam Silver, you know, was hoping that the government could contain it in some manner, but they right. were not. But there's way too much money made at Coachella, South by Southwest, mm-hmm. E3, et cetera, for them to be like, all right, there's a coronavirus outbreak, we're just going to cancel it. Right, that just right. doesn't happen.
Mm-mm. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so...
And it was weird to me. The only thing about that, and I agree with what mm-hmm. you're saying wholeheartedly. The only thing about it was, did you see the reaction from Mark Cuban?
Cuban, yeah.
I'm thinking, like, didn't he know? Like you said, mm-hmm. I'm sure they had talked about it. Maybe he was reacting like, oh, we did it. I'm hoping that's what, well, I'm thinking that's what it was.
I think it was pure shock.
Yeah. Like, we did, you know. But I'm thinking, wouldn't he have been in on those meetings?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he was there.
Maybe not. Yeah,
he may have been
privy to some of the conversations, but right. the actual decision.
That's not
on him. And like I said, it came abrupt. But Gobert tested positive 5 minutes later. Yeah. They're announcing that they're shutting down the season. But I'm saying,
like, you think they wouldn't have sent out to owners at least, mm-hmm. like, hey, here's a heads up. Let's have a quick conference call. This is what's going to happen.
I'm not sure. And the only reason why I'm not sure, and I'm not saying that you're not right. Mm-hmm. The only reason I'm not sure is because this happened so fast. Like, Nick and I were just talking about it earlier. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about getting ready for the playoffs and all this mm-hmm. other stuff. And this is where we are. No sports.
Right.
And I don't want anybody watching this or listening to this think that it's all about sports, but sports is a diversion from real life.
Yes.
So now real life is here. So we mm-hmm. have to deal with the here and now. So yeah. there's no diversion. So right. you can't get away from this story. That's this story is everywhere.
Sports is what normally carries us.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff
it's,
like this.
It's the stuff that, you know, when there's tragedy, when there's other things, you know, we dealt with the death of Kobe. You could turn on a game and get away from the, because if you got on social media, Kobe mm-hmm. was everywhere. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so. But you still need a break from that stuff. And I would encourage anybody listening or watching, put your phone down sometime, because this stuff can be overwhelming. It can be depressing for some people.
Yes, it can.
Because you're inundated with messages. You're inundated. And then, mm-hmm. you know, I know some people that will fall asleep to CNN. They'll wake up to say, I can't do that. I don't need bad news when I first wake up.
I can't do it.
But, you know, it's okay to be informed. It's okay to be concerned. I don't think it's okay to be fearful. I wouldn't advise anybody to be fearful. But, you know, sports is a huge diversion. So yeah. it's just... not having this outlet of sports is bothersome to us as fans, because none of us have never seen this before. Right. Hopefully we never will.
Mm-hmm. It's also a sign of how bad this is,
yes.
and also a signal to how poorly the government did in managing yes. it. You guys were talking before we started about how Korea, and that was one of the things, one of the doctors said, you know, and you know, in my family, is that Korea is testing 10,000
yep.
people a day, and you know, I think it's one of you guys mentioned that, that
it's, yeah. South Korea is more than that,
yeah, and that we're only doing 2,000 because you know a lot of it has to do with a lot of regulation, red tape, et cetera, and kind of going back to what you were saying about put your phones down, stop following this news. Like when this thing started, I followed it more closely during the onset of this, mm-hmm. like, because, you know, what are the warning signs? What are people saying? Because, you know, my wife worked at the CDC okay. and I remember H1N1. That wow. was the first sign.
Yep.
And the things that she would come and say, and then her mom would come back and say, was like the first sign of how an outbreak could happen. And some of the things that were not made public
mm-hmm.
that were being said behind the scenes. So, with that in the back of my mind and seeing this, I'm like, okay, no, there's something serious happening and we don't know about it. You add in Trump cutting the CDC budget. You add in him getting rid of the Office of Pandemic and Emergency Response.
Yep.
And then it was something else that he got rid of as well in 2018. This is what happens. And when he decides to play to the markets and his ego more to the safety of the American people, then that's when you get into this global crisis. Also, the other thing is that they already have or are damn near close to a vaccine. Guess who yeah. got that vaccine? You Toronto. Heard about this?
Toronto, Canada.
Quebec is one. Cuba.
Wow. Oh yeah. So all right. So Cuba. I'm glad you brought that
Cuba
up.
Cuba and Israel, they're working together on this.
Because a lot of people don't know that actually the University of Cuba is one of the best medical universities in the world.
I know that.
Yep, in the world, and they do come up with a lot of stuff. Another thing about South Korea, Ken, did you know that they were testing people for free?
I believe it. I did not know that. Yeah. But yeah.
So I think, you know, like when we look at our government here in America, I think that obviously there's a lot of gaps, yeah. right? And we talked about leadership and lack thereof. And I think that when we come across these type of instances, it's like we vote for all of these people, but do they really have our best interests at heart?
Right.
Right. Because our best interest to me means that, hey, we've opened up a whole bunch of little testing stations. They're free. Go get tested, or we'll come to you, or figure out something for people to make sure that they don't have to pay their money to make sure that they're healthy. Right. That's number one. Right. Number two, like Italy, how we were talking earlier before the camera turned on, how Italy is just taking care of everybody for the next, you know, 60, 90 days. Like, you don't worry about your mortgage. Don't worry about your bills. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about nothing. Just make sure you stay quarantined and you guys stay home and let's figure this thing out. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, that what that shows is that you have my best interest.
Right.
I voted for you. Now you're supposed to take care of us. And I don't feel like that. Like we saw it with Katrina.
Yeah.
We seen it with so many natural disasters.
And Cuba wanted to send help over for during Katrina too. Yeah. Bush said, nah.
And see, that's a tough thing too. And I said that same thing when we had Katrina. The thing about this is that this is the enemy that you can't see.
Exactly.
And that's exactly. You could see a soldier coming from Russia, coming over here trying to kill us or whatever yep. the case may be. You can see a natural disaster happening. You can run from a hurricane. You can prepare for a tornado. You can't see a virus. For all we know, the virus could be on, knock wood, could be on this table.
Yep.
And so you have to just prepare. And I think what I want people to understand from listening to us talk about it is that the washing of the hands and taking care of yourself is for you, but it's also for the next man. Mm-hmm. And we in this country don't really think about the next person. We're thinking about ourselves, and rightfully so. I get it. But at the same time, it's about the other people, because most of us, I'm on an assumption, we all have parents that are still here that are in that demographic that mm-hmm. if they got the virus, yeah. it's going to be hard for any one of us could get it, and we'll be fine, honestly, mm-hmm. because we are relatively healthy. We don't have pre-existing health issues.
Mm-hmm. I may not be.
Well, you'll be fine.
I got asthma. I got what do they call it? Chronic.
But you got the old man asthma. You good, man. You good, man. But yeah, it's I think it's a really strange place for us to be in. And like I said, you look at leadership and the lack thereof. But I definitely want to give, you know, somebody like Adam Silver some props, because he didn't have to do it. And, you know, Gobert's testing positive was the kind of the domino. I know it was the worst case scenario, like you said, mm-hmm. but it was the domino effect that really set everything off. Because right now there's no sports anywhere being played.
And he's receiving a lot of heat, and rightfully so.
Yeah, it's dumbass. To a degree.
Nah, it's dumbass,
To a degree. You know why?
Sometimes you got to get your ass beat to learn a lesson.
But here's the thing. It's just
this
like,
is an epidemic, bro. We ain't playing around.
But it's just like Magic Johnson with AIDS. Like sometimes somebody needs to be able to take some of the seriousness off of it, because again, this is sports and this is our escape from real life stuff. And we look at our sports people as people to kind of guide us. And you know what I'm saying?
But Magic Johnson wasn't having an open wound and like rubbing it all over people, stuff like that. Like, come on.
That wouldn't be funny.
I'll give you the prime example in terms of Magic Johnson and the whole AIDS thing, right? Y'all know Gary Vee?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lakers trainer.
Exactly, Lakers trainer. He said the first game that Magic played and Magic got a cut, he said, if I would have put on gloves, I would have alienated this man from the whole world. And he didn't. And he treated Magic without gloves. And everybody was like, wow.
I'm sorry, I'd have put on gloves. I would have put on gloves.
But sometimes
you're right though.
Magic probably slid him a bag.
My health and your alienation.
But when you know what you're dealing with, he knew the ramifications. If I put on these gloves, like everybody's gonna look at Magic even crazier now.
Right?
Because they didn't want him out there.
They didn't want him out there at all.
Yeah, they did not.
Because people thought that you could catch AIDS by the sweat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Kind of bringing it back to the Rudy Gobert thing, I understand him being playful.
If you mm-hmm. was Donovan Mitchell, what would your reaction be?
Oh, Donovan wanted to whip his ass.
Of course.
That's what I'm saying.
Donovan wanted to whip his ass before this. We don't know that.
Here's the thing. I do agree with you, but I also agree mostly with Shelton, is that, you know, there's a saying that my father-in-law has, I'm always joking, but I'm never playing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I was, you know, messing around on the last episode of Is the Mice Alone. Make sure you guys checked it out. But there was a level of seriousness, and it still is a level of seriousness in my day-to-day life and how I approach this. With Rudy Gobert, it's fun to kind of joke and kid around. He went too far touching the microphones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With that situation with Magic is that that guy was well informed about the disease.
I give you that.
And he knew that he didn't have to put on gloves. Gobert played basketball.
I feel you.
He just dunked. And then this fool was talking about, oh, yeah, I felt fine. I feel strong. I'm ready to go play.
Right. Yeah.
And he walking around infected. He could have got it from the
kid.
Yeah.
And the Jazz players, the Jazz players as a collective, they were saying, like, he was joking around and playing around, like, doing all types of stuff in the locker room and all that shit, too, being cavalier. That's why I'm like, all right, bro.
So okay, but we don't always know that. And we're not always privy to that, right? Outside looking in, without knowing that tidbit of information, I agree with Ken's statement. I'm always joking, but what?
I'm never playing.
But I'm never playing. So you can joke around about it, but playing in the locker room and stuff like that with other people, that's a step too far, right? But again, that's technically behind closed doors that we're not really supposed to know about.
But even the outside stuff. Even if they didn't do the report,
the what he did with the reporters.
Yeah, yes, the touching of the stuff, whatever. I think that it would have been more okay if he was just talking about it, like, nah, this is not that serious, it's that whatever, right. Woo, woo, you know, like, everybody's good, you know, say we're good, da 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 da. But yes, I think he did take it a step too far, but like, to the point where, like, you know, we want to fight him or we hate him or, you know, like, even Charlamagne had him as donkey of the day, like, you know,
I shot him some bail, man. To your point, Ken, you're right. He should have taken it a lot more serious. I think if he knew then what he knew now, but we also have to understand a lot of professional athletes are so isolated. Mm-hmm. They live in a totally, technically live in the world that we live in. Nope. So, you know, and we talked a little bit about LeBron, and I didn't think whatever criticism they gave LeBron was fair, because when LeBron spoke about it, about not playing in front of any arena with no fans, he was speaking from the perspective of what he knew. And he's generally speaking someone who's always informed. He just wasn't informed at the time that he said it, but I'm not going to kill him for that, you know. And he walked his statement back, saying, "Hey, you know, this is what it is, and I'm sorry, you know." So, Gobert, he shouldn't have done it.
He donated like half a million,
and that's the most out of any player that I've heard so far. Because Kevin Love,
question,
yeah,
how do you feel about players donating that? Because we heard about Zion. Mm-hmm. I think you posted that in the group chat about players donating their salaries to pay for the arena employees.
I don't like any player doing it either.
That's what the employees should do.
Is their money, so I can't say what they want to do.
It's a great gesture.
I applaud them, but those people should have been paid by the, like, Phoenix Suns stepped up and they paid their people. Yeah. I think it was them that paid.
And we don't, and to shoot some bail for the owners a little bit, we don't know exactly what they're doing behind closed doors, but at the same time, it should never come down to the players.
Well, I think the ones that are paying have said it publicly. I know, like, earlier today, Arthur Blank said that he was paying for the players the people that work at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I don't know. You're right. We don't know about all of the owners, but it shouldn't take a 19-year-old kid making $2 million a year to pay for
he does have a big sneaker deal.
Yeah,
we know it's not hurting him.
Obviously it's not hurting him.
He should be the first one to step up.
He is an employee of the the Pelicans.
Yeah, right.
He's an employee. The owner, she owns the Benson lady. She's like worth $5 billion.
Smoothie King.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of that too, well, first off, it's tax write-off, so they're going to write that off anyway. Right. But at the same time, that does something for Zion's, his brand. Profile, his brand, all that stuff. So she may have gave him that $100,000 to do that.
Yeah, but doesn't have to do that, though.
No, he doesn't have to, but I agree with Shelton. Like, just brand perception, especially for a young kid like Zion, like, what that does is that endears him to New Orleans market.
It's a great, great gesture on his part. I mean, again, being 19 years old, he hadn't gotten his money yet. So for him to do that, I think, was big. But I don't think the athletes, this should fall upon them.
But it shouldn't fall, because it's not like there is any expectation for them to do it. I just think that a lot of them,
they know how well off they are.
Right.
And 100 bands ain't gonna hurt. Bro, they make 100 bands in a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
In one game. Especially somebody like Kevin Love. Kevin Love, he still got, what, 3 years?
No, are NBA players still being paid while...
Oh, yeah. All their stuff is guaranteed.
Well, I don't know about that because I was reading an article. I saw a headline on the article that was saying, like, because of this, of not playing, there could be that loophole in the contract where it's like, if you're not playing these games... I mean, their contracts are guaranteed, so when you do play, you can get paid.
Yeah. Right.
But like you said, with the same thing with the artists and entertainment, if you're not working.
And technically, I think the NBA only has like 16, maybe 17 more games left. So it's not like it's a full season.
Right.
So even someone like Zion, he's not paying for
that bench player like shit, nigga.
Hey, check out players.
Well, and I think they're losing out on obviously the game revenue for the regular
TV
season.
Revenue. TV revenue.
Yeah, which is where budgeting is based off of. And yeah, like you guys said, the TV revenue. But most businesses have, you know, these emergency funds.
Insurance.
Yeah, man. So they'll be covered. In the NFL's case, though, with that's the CBA,
different. Right?
That's
different.
I
didn't even think
different.
About the CBA during this whole thing.
Yeah, man. Because imagine the economic impact that we don't know about that is to come. What could this do to those TV deals? You know, that has yet to be negotiated.
Right.
They could use this as leverage to maybe take a percentage back or to, you know, coerce them into taking this deal.
Are you talking about the NFL coercing the players or the players coercing the NFL?
NFL coercing the players. They can use this as leverage to get them to take the deal because those conversations are already taking place.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
I was just going to answer this.
No, go ahead.
Under the labor agreement, teams can withhold like 192.6 of a player's salary per game missed.
So the 196 is based off
these games.
Percentage of exhibition games,
regular season games, and 5.6.
You said 1.92%.
Yeah.
No. So that's a
one out of
192nd.
One out of 92.6.
So that's basically a game check.
Yeah.
A game check.
That ain't, man. Come on, man. But
how would that look if you did that though? Like as a business, you have the legal right and the contractual right to do it, but you're saying it won't look good.
No, it won't. It won't because you think about that, like how the players are going to view you, and also when you're trying to attract free agents, if you're trying to stingy out there like
I'm
that,
but
it's a league though.
Performance.
Yeah, because think about it, it's not just going to be any one particular franchise. It's going to be as a league,
right,
so it's all 30 teams,
and they're
going to move in uniform.
And I don't know if that's teams or individual like it is with the.
Well, it has to be because they have revenue sharing.
That's something that sounds like something was collectively bargained. So
exactly,
that's the CBA,
and the league shares revenue now.
Right.
The NBA shares revenue, so whatever one entity wants to do, they all have to vote on it and make it like a league thing. It's not just one person that's going to be able to do something that they want to do.
And I was going to say, they could use that money to pay their employees and just spend it that way.
Mm-hmm. That is a good span.
Yeah.
That is a good span.
Yeah. And that would look much better from a PR perspective too.
Right. And like I said, I think that money that they're donating, I think that's a PR spin, period. And that
so what do you think this looks like for the, and let's just, since we're in the NBA, what do you think this looks like for the NBA if we start playoffs June 1st instead of, you know, what do you think? Do you think we'll have a situation where the fans will be back in the arena? Or are we looking at the NBA playoffs with no fans?
It depends. Well, put it this way for me. I didn't know we'd be here. You know,
right.
Most of us, if we think back to when LeBron made those comments, we were thinking the same thing. Like, games with no fans. Come on, man.
Right.
That's not going to happen. But we didn't know that we were going to be in this position.
Mm-hmm.
So in saying that, who knows where we're going from here?
Would you watch an NBA game without fans?
I would watch it out of curiosity. I would watch it, period, because it's the NBA. But it would be weird.
I watch
because
ain't nothing else on TV.
I'm going to tell you, I watched the boxing match last night.
I did too.
Yeah. And dude got, what was crazy was the announcers' mics went out. So dude got knocked down. It was really weird to watch somebody get knocked down.
Yep.
And nobody say nothing.
Yep.
So he got up, but it was like I wanted to hear something.
It was just weird seeing a boxing match with just very few people around the ring. It almost like it, you know, from a from a standpoint, it looked kind of like it was sparring. But it was actually real boxing match on Showtime.
Wrestling was the same thing. Yep. They did it with wrestling.
Oh, wow.
Nobody did.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So
yeah, and they were talking about the Masters, you know, playing that without fans. I know the one here was canceled.
They pushed it back. They pushed the Masters back. So but my thing was with the Masters, the Masters, all they got to do is find a date. The golfers will complain about, oh, well, you know, where does this fit into our schedule? It's the Masters. Everybody wants to play. You're lucky to be invited. Everybody wants to win that green jacket. Tiger's going to show up. Phil's going to show up. Rory McIlroy's going to show up.
It's water. So, so going back to
I know, right?
So going back to the NFL, somebody in the chat, HLLVN, I agree with.
We'll be back after this quick break.
Did you know that the Pope once tried to ban racing? Or how an Indy driver became the biggest drug dealer in America?
More than $100 million worth of marijuana into South Florida.
Hi, I'm James Pumphrey from Donut Media.
And I'm Nolan Sykes, also from Donut Media. And we're the hosts of the Past Gas Podcast, where we dive deep into the automotive world's most insane stories.
Like when Ford tried to buy Ferrari, or when Evel Knievel brawled with the Hell's Angels.
Evel Knievel just jumped off his bike and punched him.
From the greatest rivalries to simply how a car came to be, we'll cover it all in Past Gas. So make sure to tune in every Monday for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Past Gas Podcast.
It's about cars.
It's not about farts.
I promise.
He says NFL players are brainwashed to believe that the league is above them and that without the players, the league will still strive, but they don't realize it's the other way around. And I 100% agree. Look at the XFL, right? There's a lot of talent there.
They closed their season too,
But
I was worried about that.
But if you just look at the XFL as a league, right, there's a lot of talent. How many quarterbacks are there? And if you don't have quarterback play, football is not football.
It's not.
Like, you have to have elite quarterback play for it to be as compelling as it is, or else we're going back to the 1940s.
And let's go into that CBA, because we've been talking in the chat about going back and forth. As far as Kyle, you've been on the one, like, they need to, they've always been crying for the last decade, especially how they got screwed over in the last CBA. This CBA was supposed to be setting precedent. They were talking about, you know, doing a strike and all that shit. And now, obviously, I think they probably are thanking God for this virus thing because it's pushing all that shit back. But before then, they were in the midnight hour, like, oh, we gonna have to sign this or it's a wrap. You know, and you got the bottom players who aren't the superstars putting pressure on the top guys, saying like, bro, y'all denying this, y'all don't like this deal, but shit, that's almost half of like, that's 50K to 100,000 more in my pocket. Yeah, my family.
But here's the thing, right? Like, and I think that there's a bigger divide, obviously, with the amount of money that NFL players make, and obviously the bottom tier players, they don't really have guaranteed contracts and things of that nature. But they have to understand sacrifice for the greater good.
How do you say that to them, though?
I'm saying it right now. The thing is that for everybody to get closer to 100% guaranteed contracts or more guaranteed money, you have to hold out. Because, again, there is no league without you. Because if they want to put replacement players out there, we saw what it looked like with replacement refs.
We've seen that refs.
You know what I'm saying? How bad was it just with replacement refs?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mm. You put replacement players out there, you're going to have the XFL. The XFL is, there's no Aaron Rodgers. There's no Patty Mahomes. There's no Tom Brady. There's none of that. So, yeah, the bottom guys, yeah, it might be whatever, and maybe they're not going to be able to pay certain bills and this, that, and the third. But you know what? Save your coins, because you still make way more money than the average median income in America.
Well, I would say this: if the top players are willing to, if this is the brotherhood that you're trying to talk about, and like, we're all in this together, we all got to hold out together, they got to be able to share that that money revenue that they got from their guaranteed contracts to no, help out with their players.
Why not necessarily? Because you're not as good as me, and I need to get paid my market value.
Are we a team or a group of individuals?
When it comes to that money.
So then why do I gotta sacrifice my bread when you making millions? Because making four times in a year than I am in my whole career.
But here's the thing, right? Like me at the top, right? Like, let's say if I was one of the top NFL guys, and I say I'm a holdout. And you're like, well, shit, I'm going to go play. Bro, do you really think, first and foremost, that they're going to pay you the money that I got paid? No.
It's not about that. I need money in general.
No, and I understand that. And all I'm saying is that, first and foremost, you make three times, four or five times the median income in America.
Here's the problem.
But that's
with
only
that,
for 3 to 4 years. But after that, I'm right. washed goods. I'm that's not was, like because like your point. No, I'm not as good as you, no, so I'm not gonna last as long.
And I understand, but how, what's the percentage of and just professional players in general that go broke after their career, regardless of how 70, much money they make.
70 or 80%. Yeah.
Regardless of how much money you make.
And that's what I was going to say. Here's the thing with that. Mm. You think about this. We look at it from a perspective of us compared to them. Mm-hmm. It's not really that way. They look at it, it's me compared to you. If we both in mm-hmm. the league, you're top tier, I'm bottom tier. Mm-hmm. That's how they see it. And it's kind of like, because I talked to a player that was on a minimum wage salary, mm-hmm. and he ride the bus right now. And mm-hmm. it, for him, it's kind of like, I need my bread. First off, their life expectancy in the league is like this long.
Yeah, two years.
They got to get what they can get when they can get it. They ain't got time to wait.
And I get that. And all I'm saying is that if you are a bottom-tiered player, mm-hmm. right, you can't live your lifestyle like you Tom Brady and Giselle. You just can't.
No one. I'm not saying go to that extent. I'm just saying if I have a mortgage.
So then what's the issue? What's the issue with prolonging the CBA an extra 6 months, a year, holding out? If you're saving your coins the way you should be But again, like I said at the beginning, it's for the greater good. It may not be good for you right now.
Mm-hmm. It ain't good for me, period. It's all about you at this point.
So y'all talking about the CBA.
But it will be good for you though. Eventually, because I'm with FIFO.
Here's the thing. Both of you are actually right. But mm-hmm. it's different levels of where you are correct. And I talked about it in the group chat. The current CBA that they're under, basically what they allowed the players allowed the owners to do was create a class system. So you have the haves, the Bradys and the Aaron Rodgers and the Pat Mahomes of the world, mm-hmm. and you got the bottom tier players. Close to 60% of the players make the minimum salary, correct. Which is $500,000. Now, $500,000 to all of us and $500,000 to the people who are listening and watching, that's a good way. That's
the president's salary.
It's a good start on life. I'll put it like that. So, but the problem is if you have 60% at the bottom tier and then you have a small percentage at the top tier, we're not fighting for the same thing.
Right.
So when you roll out a CBA and you say, okay, well, hey, we'll add a 17th game, we'll add an extra playoff game, we'll have like a special wild card team or whatever the case may be, this is going to generate revenue to where you're going to get your bottom players are going to get an extra $100,000 just for that seventh game, at least an extra $100,000. So for me and you, who are making $500,000, that's a lot of money because our life expectancy is only 3 years.
That's 20% of your
salary. And it's a very young league. So what they did was, in that CBA, they were able to basically cut out veterans. So veterans, the 8-9 year vets, unless you're stars, they don't exist in the NFL. And it's mm-hmm. kind of like that in NBA, mm-hmm. but not as much. We don't see the veterans on the basketball teams like we used to back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Jamal Crawford.
Exactly. So, yeah, great example. So what happens is with this, what they're proposing is it definitely benefits the little man. It doesn't benefit. That's why you hear guys like Aaron Rodgers saying, well, look, I'm not in favor of this. J.J. Watts there, because it doesn't benefit. That's another week of NFL action, another more wear and tear on their body.
Right.
Less money for them. So it's just not, the extra 100 bands ain't worth, it's not worth it to J.J. Watt. So in the way that it's structured now, like I said, you have a class. And so you got the haves and the have nots. And so, but right now, the way this deal is constructed is going to benefit. And unfortunately, it looks like it's going to pass. And it's not going to benefit the stars.
Yeah, right. And the thing about that is it benefits the majority.
Of course.
Which that's what it should be about anyway.
But the thing is, and you to your point, when you're talking mm-hmm. about them saving their money, they knew this was coming. And to mm-hmm. FIFO's point, mm-hmm. we talked about it and you guys talked about it on previous podcasts years ago. They told them, look, the CBA's coming up. Save your money.
And my point isn't to not push back, but it's more of if and when we do push back, the players need to come together in unison, because that's what the whole CBA is about. The unison of the players.
It's hard to do. I think the players.
But if you've been telling me for 5 years to save my money, we gonna hold out.
But what's the reality of it when you just got into the league 2 years ago and you got $500,000 in the bank? You're not saving your money. You're living like everybody else. You're going to the mall. You're buying clothes. You're buying cars. You're buying houses. You bought your mama house.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, as far as like a part of like just to take care of the needs, not the wants, just the needs.
But that's, I don't know. I get what you're saying, and I don't disagree.
Most of the players ain't living in mansions. They living in apartments and little condos.
But the thing is, though, most NFL players are trying to get to that second contract.
Yes.
When you get to that second contract, that's where the money is. But if you're only lasting 3 years, guess what? And like, it's not like how we talk about NBA where you got a 3 to 5 year window to get good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You either make it or you don't.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so they have a high turnover ratio because they know that there's another crop of kids that's coming into the mm-hmm. NFL, and they're going to take your $500,000. Yep. So now I don't have to pay you 1.5. I'll pay this mm-hmm. guy $500,000 to do what you do.
But there's even more in the detail as far as that, because I think the last CBA, that's where they had the fifth-year option. That's where they added that.
Yeah.
And also they changed what the rookie
scale.
So like that's another thing that they need to look at as well. Take off that fifth-year option.
I don't know necessarily if the players have the power for it. And they just right now, financially, I don't know that they can hold it. Like people said,
what is all this going to mean then?
But the power is in the numbers. And that's why I say that they have to come into it in unison. Just like the commenter posted, I agree. The players have the power.
They don't realize it.
Right. The owners, the majority of them are savvy businessmen.
And they made their money, not...
This is a hobby to them.
Exactly. These are tax write-offs for the majority of these business owners. They don't really make the majority of their fortunes through this. They make
somebody like Jerry Jones. He made billions in the oil industry. He bought the Cowboys.
Right.
The Cowboys is his baby now, but that's not how he made his money.
Exactly.
Right. Same for Arthur Blank.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know. So the thing is that all of the players, regardless if you're Aaron Rodgers or we don't even know who the hell you are, and you're on a practice squad, you know, getting paid $5,000 a week. Everybody needs to band together and say, guess what? If these terms are not met, we're not playing.
Right.
And they got to be able to hold out a whole season.
And you got to say, we want 50-50. We don't want 51-49. But 50-50 is what they should be asking for, but that's not what they're going to get.
They're going to get 48 if that.
Because they're not willing to hold out long enough.
I agree with you in theory, but in reality, when you're looking at people and paying these bills and all that stuff, and they got families, like they made it to the league and they're supposed to be the jackpot. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm not getting any money and they probably haven't either graduated from college, or if they did, they haven't no work experience. But, like, what are you doing in the meantime?
When I hear you speak, it feels short-sighted. Like, you're not playing the long game. You're playing the short game.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm speaking of what's going on. If I can't feed my family today, why do I worry about tomorrow?
Because the reality is, and I hate to say this, but the reality is a lot of NFL players who are living check to check.
They are.
Because you don't get paid when the season ends. More than half.
You get paid every week for 16 weeks or 17 weeks.
Exactly. Yes, there's some guys that they financially, they make it to minicamp, that you start getting your money, but you're getting like a stipend for mini camp, but when you get to training camp, you start getting your money, and then when the season starts, when that first check hits September 1st of the new year, that's when you get paid. So a lot of these guys, honestly, they're living check to check, just like a lot of Americans are.
Yes, and that's the thing. We talking about 22-year-old, 23-year-old, 24-year-old young men that don't have financial backing and support and education like that. Even if you tell a 22-year-old from the streets, yo, save your money because we're about to. Anybody hearing that?
And they don't even think it's going to get that realistic. Far.
But look, we know that anytime that there's, and I don't have a better word, but like war, right? The war between the players and the owners, there's going to be casualties.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's unfortunate. And there
you got to crack a few eggs and make omelet. You got the GM hat on right now.
I do because it's business.
It is business.
And at the end
but
of the day.
It's personal when you're talking about my income.
And I get that. But this is, the CBA is business. It's not personal.
And one thing NFL players have to realize is that.
Wash your hands.
No, you good. One thing NFL players have to realize is that you are a commodity. They don't like to hear it, but that's what it is. You're a commodity. You're not in the NBA always, or at least to me, over the last 20, 30 years, feels like a partnership with their players. Adam Silver talks about a partnership. LeBron,
they know the value.
Kobe, Michael, they always talked about a partnership with the league. Even when Stern did stuff that they didn't like, God rest his soul. It was still a partnership. There doesn't seem to be a partnership with the players in the NFL.
Because the environment is different. The environment, like, when you start our foundation of your contracts are guaranteed, you take a little aggression out of your voice. But
they choose not to make the contracts guaranteed because of the nature of the sport.
Yeah.
Because you literally could lose a player. You can't play in the NFL's mind. They don't want to pay a guy. They want to pay you $5 million a year when we can lose you on one play.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The guy that we're going to pay $10 million a year or $20 million a year, stands behind an offensive line, we've got all these rules to protect him, he probably won't get hurt unless he runs out of the pocket.
And I was just going to tell you, too, one of my boys, he told me to tell you, he said, there is no such thing as greater good when it comes to salary negotiations, because thinking like that will guarantee that you won't get what you're worth. Mm. And that's the case in most cases, I think, too. So it's kind of like, I'm going to do what's best for me.
I want that to happen for you. Like, we've been talking about this CBA for the last few years now, and we knew we were going to get to this point. Mm-hmm. And I wish players did think smart or even ahead. But at the same time, the reality is if you don't got it, you ain't got it.
Yeah,
you
know
what
I'm saying?
The theory is brilliant.
True.
So it's just like,
it sounds like slavery. I don't know. We've especially on this telecast, we've talked about the NFL and how it feels like slavery. All you're doing is you're breaking your will.
No,
exactly. No, you're just breaking your will to what the slave owners
want. I gave you
an
option. You said hell no. I said if we collectively if this is a brotherhood, then let's all put some money together to set it aside and be able to help out the players who protect us, because the players that was 60% of the league or whatever, those are the ones that's either the second string, the offensive line, the rookies
guys
who just haven't got paid. Yeah, the special teams, those players that make a difference. There's less superstars than there is just guys in the NFL. If we're here to protect that brotherhood, then let's do that. But your option was like, nigga, you ain't as good as me, so I ain't giving up my money. So if that's the case, and shit, we gonna have to take what we got.
I'm talking from a perspective of in sports, right? Like, this is a free market economy.
Right.
We get paid what our value is when you play professional sports and things of the like.
As good as what you can negotiate.
Exactly. And if I'm one of the top tiered people, all I'm saying is I'm going to maximize my bread. If you're one of the bottom tiered people, you're just happy to be in the room.
There you go.
And that's just the reality of the situation. But when we're talking about the CBA, right, those bottom tiered people need to be prepared to hold out, because who is the majority of the NFL? You are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So then why do I have to, if I'm the majority, why do I have to concede to the minority?
Because the minority is the reason why the league is so special and why it generates the revenue it does. You're just a worker. You're not special. And I know it sounds very harsh.
But I'm saying, like, I agree what you're saying, but when you break that down to somebody and then you're telling me to hold out so you can get more money, why would I even want to work with you on that?
All to get
exactly.
More money.
You can't say all if I'm the one sacrificing the most.
And that's what I'm saying. It's for all. I'm saying you don't make a lot of money now, but if we all hold out, we can all make more.
You're talking out of both sides.
I'm not talking out of both.
Russell Wilson ain't sacrificing. Aaron Rodgers ain't sacrificing. JJ Watt ain't sacrificing.
It's a sacrifice.
It's a sacrifice, but it's a different level. Thinking is, if I hold out, I may not have a career when I come back. So I could be fighting for a cause that I would never ever benefit from in my life. So I'm gonna take
now
what
the stars can say the same thing, because somebody like Aaron Rodgers or JJ Watt, what this CBA is going to do is not going to help them.
How long do you guys think a holdout would actually last, though, considering the amount of money that the NFL makes on
the season? If it's towards
it won't last long.
It wouldn't last long. But the thing is, the owners
will never let it get to the season.
Well,
and that's the power of the players, and that's what I'm trying to say. Like, if we're only going to hold out a week or two, and then whatever, we get slightly incremental better negotiations, it's not worth it. The players have to be willing to sit out the entire season.
Le'Veon Bell.
Yes, because that is where the power is in the negotiation.
Exactly. And the owners know, based on how things are now, the players won't do that.
Right. And kind of going back to what FIFA was saying about the slavery / indentured servitude, they got the guys that's in those positions negotiating these deals making decisions without necessarily consulting with them. That's how you get to 47% and not the 50 and the 17 game. And people are like, 17 game? Where did that come from?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that guy is being paid off for that 17 game, and they're trying to force it down their throats because guys that Nick is talking about, they're have no choice but to concede to
but
that.
When we talk again, if this is all of us together, again, that's why I said it sounds like it's two different things. Is it all of us together, or are we just fighting for our own right?
Like I said, the owners know that the players, they're going
to
concede.
If the players stand tight as a unit and willing to help each other out,
remember,
they can last
10 years ago, there was a lockout. They never made it to the season, but there was a lockout. One before that, there was a, you know, they were talking about striking. Mm-hmm. The players will always concede because the bottom tier players, they're going to need
money. They can't hold out that long.
And
because
one
they're
thing
not
that,
financially
that
smart.
I think we touched on
we,
a little
we're
bit.
We're assuming that, though.
The majority about what you
the
said.
Majority, no, I'm saying that. I'm saying the
majority
the
are not.
The top and bottom ain't smart. I mean, like, as a holistic group.
The thing
like,
about it is that they're just like any other person that go to work. There are people that are not financially smart, and there are those that are. And the ones that are not are the ones that were like, yo, I need my money.
That's all that matters.
Run me my check.
What the contract say, I don't care. Sign my name on it.
Sign my name. I'm going to get paid.
Yep. Yeah. Let's talk about the hip hop then. How many people sign these contracts and they don't even have lawyers present? They don't even read these contracts.
They sign their name every day. It's the same concept.
And what
it's
I'm
not
saying,
the same because whoa. That's an individual. Whoa. Not a collective. Too.
But that you sign the individual contract.
No. Yes, one on one. But you're talking about a collective bargaining. This is not the whole hip hop genre of hip hop.
You deal with that money is the same.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes, on an individual standpoint.
Right. And what I am saying, right, for the greater good, right, the greater good that I'm talking about is for everybody to make more money. And you're 100% right, right? Like I said, in this, there's going to be some casualties. There's going to be some people that started in the league, and after the holdout, they won't be in the league no more. They won't have a job. But at the end of the day, the people that still have a job, instead of having a $500,000 minimum, you have 2.5 guaranteed minimum.
Guaranteed.
You see what I'm saying? That's the difference. That's what you have to be able to sacrifice for.
I don't want to get you to misconstrue it. I agree with you.
No, I feel you.
I'm just saying it ain't realistic.
That's all I'm saying. That's literally what I'm saying.
I wouldn't say it's not realistic because I think it's very possible, but it takes your due diligence. It takes strength. It takes the idea of leadership.
It takes intimidation.
No. You know what it is? You know what it is? The NFL doesn't have a LeBron James or a CP3. Right. Mm-hmm. Or a leader like that is literally the face and the sound of the league, and everybody else kind of follows suit. When LeBron says something, even the Draymond Greens of the world, well, damn, you know what I'm saying? That's how we gonna roll. Mm-hmm. There's nobody like that in the NFL.
Even in the last CBA, when they were going to the table, one of the faces of the players was Drew Brees. The owners dismissed Drew Brees like he was nobody.
Because he was.
Drew Brees. Now, I'm not talking about Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Drew Brees. He was out there on the front line, and he was the voice for the players. Mm-hmm. And they was like, man, we're not worried about you.
But to FIFO's point, the NBA, I feel like it is a brotherhood. Like, if we've seen certain...
Well, it's less players.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's less players, but even then, like, you still have a precedent as far as when something goes down with one of their NBA players, whatever, they put all that sports shit aside, and they help them out.
It's easy.
And that's what I'm saying.
You got 15 people on a basketball team. You got 55 on an NFL team. It's easy.
The way that the NBA operates now, that was built up over time.
Yes.
Because it wasn't always like that. NBA was a lot like the NFL.
Yeah, back in the day.
Like really what started moving that in that direction was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan became the face. Yes. Michael Jordan broke rules. Why do you think his first...
Reluctantly, because initially Mike didn't even want to get involved
100%,
in that
100%.
Yeah, he never been a political guy.
But he was a reluctant pioneer in a lot of ways,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Especially when it comes to commercialism. Look at his first shoes. It broke all NBA rules of contract with Converse.
Mm-hmm.
And Nike said, oh, we're going to pay that fine. Don't worry about it.
Because
they saw the bigger picture. And now you trickle down all of these. I'm 36, 84. So 36 years later, now you have that power. And obviously, they have power a lot quicker than the 36 years. But now I'm just saying the way that the players wield the power is going to take the NFL time. And the first step is holding out until the season. Because hold on, who it's going to hurt is going to hurt the owners more than it hurts the players. And I understand as a player, you got bills. You may not be financially smart. You make it 500 grand. You living like you make 2.5 million. I get it. Trust me, I understand. But at the end of the day, you have to sacrifice to wield that power.
Yeah. So when you say sacrifice, you're only talking about from an individual standpoint, not as a collective, right?
I'm talking as a collective. Obviously,
you can't be. How can you say that if you don't want to help out your fellow?
Because here's the thing. Like, obviously, me, if I'm Russell Wilson and I hold out into the season, it hurts But it don't hurt as much as you.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. Sacrifice.
That's not. But I'm now, talking, they, so I said as an individual, well, not as a collective. Well,
keep in mind.
You're not sacrificing as a collective. Keep in mind, that is the collective. Have, because
no,
we're
it's
talking
not.
All, because if
we're talking all NFL players. I'm not just talking one or two.
Because if I'm sacrificed, the word sacrifice means I ought to give up something to, for a greater good.
They
greater
all
call.
Are. They are giving up money.
I can give up. If I can all right, give my money up to help pay off somebody's rent for the month.
I just talk about socialism.
I just say this.
Thank you, Ken.
I guess.
My thing is that sacrifice out here. It's not an even sacrifice. You know,
no,
what I'm saying?
But nothing is even.
I'm not,
even.
Our I'm not,
not
even. I'm not asking for an even sacrifice.
So what are you asking
I'm
for?
I'm asking for unity.
If we're but at, it is unity.
If we're, unity. No, if the unity that
if
I'm
you
asking
say
about
we're holding
is,
out. That is
because
unity.
The main thing we're holding. The whole big crux of this whole thing is financial reasons. That's the reason why they can't move forward. Is because financially, everybody's not in the same position to right. deal, to agree to this type of unity.
Right.
But if we're gonna be a unit, if we're gonna be a brotherhood, if we do all these commercials mm-hmm. and all that BS talking about this is us mm-hmm. NFLPA and shit, then let's be a brotherhood and be willing to
and
make
what
that.
What does that mean?
That means that I'm willing to help. I'm not trying to again. I'm only trying to help out the needs, not the wants. So I'll be willing to, if I could help take care of somebody's rent or mortgage for
well,
a month.
That's what
as
they're proposing.
If all these superstars in NFL.
Pouncey was talking about that.
Pouncey
did you know that? One of the Pouncey boys.
I'm talking about everybody. Yeah, all the superstars got
to
do that though.
They have a pool allegedly of money to disseminate to those who were in need, not so somebody who can get some new rims on their car.
Yes,
but you know that type of thing. So some of the vets have said we have financially set aside money in the players to do this.
For how long?
I don't know how. For
but they but they've done what you said that, or I guess your unity, your version of unity, or what you looked at as that as what Colin Shelton is saying is that there have been discussions, and one has already said that they're going to do that. So now that there's been some discussions and some agreement among some players. What are they going to do to move forward, and who all is going to participate in that?
If all the superstars, everybody in the NFL,
they don't need everybody.
It.
Yeah.
Or if enough people can do it to take care of it, then yes.
I'll say this.
Then the holdout.
The deal that's on the table now, they think that they're not going to get a better deal, but it ain't crunch time right now.
Yeah.
The league is pushing toward them signing it because as soon as this deal gets signed,
they're going to
sign a TV deal, which they're going to get a cut of. But like FIFO said, you're not under any pressure until there's a threat to lose games. If you're going to lose, because you only get 16 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you, that's where you know that the money's not going to come in, because you can pay, you can get your TV money, but if there's no games, it don't matter what NFL Sunday Ticket has on Sundays, right. If there's no games to be played. So I get what you're saying. They said that we're going to set aside this amount of money. I just don't know that the players will be that unified to hold out because they never had.
I just don't understand if there's no unity in a collective bargaining agreement.
I mean, shit, there wasn't a lot of unity in the civil rights, but it was enough to get rights, bro.
Now, one thing about the CBA.
And Martin Luther King took some hits too, right? A lot of people took a lot of hits, right?
You gotta crack some eggs, bro.
One thing about the CBA that I didn't like, I think we talked about it briefly, was Goodell's power. They haven't taken any power away from Goodell. So the first time that a guy gets in trouble, Goodell is still the judge and the jury. What do y'all think about that?
That's nowhere near good. And we've seen the results from that. Goodell shouldn't even be there.
Right.
But
well, all the owners need to have a voice that they communicate through. And that's what Goodell is.
Do you think they're communicating through him or running over him?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
There's a little bit of both.
I think they should have given their disapproval with the way he's managed certain situations in the past, they probably should have tried to get some type of change there. But at the same time, how many people are really going to be in those situations again?
And here's
well,
the thing.
I mean, well, we, real quick, to your point, we had the face of the league suspended for four games
but he did
for deflated
shit.
Four. Well, regardless of whether or not he did it or not. That's still, and you put that in the hands of one man to say, okay, well, hey, we're going to take you off the field. Now, whether or not you thought Brady did it or not, or whether it even mattered because they won by like 50 points, that's still a lot of power to give one person to say, I'm going to take you off the field. They went to court and they still said, well, no, he's going off the field. I don't know that you give that man that kind of power.
Yeah, right. That's a mistake.
But at the same time, right, like this is business. And it's a big business. And ever since Goodell has been there, they have increased profits and increased profits.
Is he the wrong one to have in the room, boy?
No, it's not. Well, because, he's right. Because I really try to remove any bias and look at it objectively and look at it from a business perspective.
Business is a non-emotional.
It's non-emotional. Yeah, but if Goodell makes money, he makes sense.
Is Goodell making money or is the NFL just a Ferrari that it's you just have, you don't have to crash?
Right.
That's what it is. Because tags were the same thing.
Were they the number one sport before he became commissioner?
But I'm not talking about being the number one sport. I'm talking about their profits.
They don't coincide together.
He has outdone Tag. And obviously, he has unfair advantages.
Right.
Internet, social media.
Of course.
The TV contracts. Just money is more abundant now. I give you that. But at the end of the day, like I said, if it makes dollars, it makes sense. And he's made more dollars for them than any other commissioner.
So let me ask you this quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take our current situation with the coronavirus and let's push it back 8 weeks.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
8 weeks from that, 8 weeks ago, we're getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
What does Goodell do? If we got this pandemic, are we playing the Super Bowl? We can't play the Super Bowl. Can we play the Super Bowl in Miami?
They're playing the Super Bowl.
They're playing the Super Bowl.
They're not going to cancel it.
They can't.
They
are ass
holes. They playing that game.
They're not playing that game.
Unless they can have fans there.
See, because unlike basketball, football, you have to train your body so much so that you can't take a month off and then come right back to it.
Right.
Basketball, yeah, it may take you a week or so.
Well, the kids do it in college. For the bowl games, there's a month and a half between. Like you play for the national championship,
they do it. I hate it, but they do it. Yeah,
and that's why a lot of games are sloppy. But you're right,
exactly right. But it's sloppy, and then they're much younger.
Well, that's true.
These NFL, a team that's gonna primarily make the Super Bowl, they're not that young. But even though this Super Bowl was young,
right,
for the most part.
So Goodell making that call, you think Goodell is playing the Super Bowl in Miami?
They're not playing
the
Super Bowl. A national emergency global pandemic. They're not playing the Super Bowl.
I
would think that they would play two. Once again, if they didn't, I would think it would be somebody else making that decision other than him.
Wow.
He wouldn't say not play it. Kyle, you know they playing it.
They playing that game, man. Because I think that they can spin it a degree.
How with player safety?
A degree. I didn't say they spin it all the way 180, but they'll spin it a little bit.
We've talked about the NFL routinely, how they never do anything right.
Never
PR-wise. So what do you think during a pandemic they're going to get it right?
But that feeds into what the hell we're saying. It isn't right. And that's why they would play the game.
Yes. Playing the game would be wrong, so they would not get that right.
Exactly. That's exactly what they would do.
Super Bowl. We ain't got to worry about viruses outside.
I'm saying that more so like it's super wrong. Like it's the obvious wrong.
Yes.
NFL, bro.
Yeah, I guess, man.
I tell you what, he dodged his bullet because if we go back a couple weeks, that's where we would have been.
He like Kid was earlier today at his house, sipping his drink, barbecue. Like, yeah, y'all got to deal with this shit, bro, not me.
That's crazy.
That vaccine, also, I was drinking. Should have flushed it right on out.
Yeah, wow. So I hate to steal your thunder, but if we go back to the NBA, I know you guys have talked about it before. If the season's done, who do you think wins MVP, player of the year, all that stuff?
You got to give it to Giannis.
They have to give it to Giannis at this point, I think.
What?
LeBron James.
LeBron.
They don't even have the best record. They still don't have the best record.
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean it don't matter? That's how the MVP didn't decide all the time.
Hold on.
So you mean to tell me just because you have the best record, you automatically the MVP?
No, I say that's.
It puts you in the conversation, it doesn't give you the MVP.
He's in the favorite all year.
That's fine. He's in the favorite the whole time. His numbers are better than LeBron still too. What are you talking about?
His numbers are dropping too.
Not enough.
Look at his number.
Listen.
So Giannis, before like the last week and a half, 2 weeks before the injury and stuff, before he started sitting out, he was on a historic pace. His PER would have been number one all time. We're talking Wilt. We're talking Kareem. We're talking MJ. He would have been number one. Now, He's like top seven all time.
But that's why they.
Oh, okay. So now, that makes a big difference. Now you ain't the MVP. Come on, man. What's the biggest case for LeBron?
Listen, what I'm saying is that that brings Giannis down. Yes, Giannis for the majority of the season was the front runner. He's no longer the front runner. It's more he's still even
the
front runner.
Did Harden have the best record in the league when he won?
Nope.
No.
Okay.
I think Giannis wins it, but I think it's close. It's closer because LeBron was on a tear, and it, you know, whenever the season or playoff start, you know, it's going to take him a minute to get back to where he was or whatever like that. But I think Giannis wins it.
I think Giannis because he's going to be probably defensive player of the year. His numbers are still better than LeBron's. His team is still better than LeBron's record-wise.
But to caveat to what I was going to say, though, I think LeBron has entered, or I don't want to say entered, he's actually in a place where Mike was, where Kobe was, where Shaq was, where writers who actually decide on who wins the MVP, they actually can look for reasons not to give it to LeBron.
That's what I said last week.
People, 27-8-8 ain't easy, but he makes it look easy. And we're so accustomed to seeing it that it doesn't look any different.
His celebrity plays against him.
Right.
It does. Yeah. And all of the years that LeBron was in the East, what was the main thing about his record that they always used against
him? The East was soft.
And the Bucks.
But how many MVPs did he win in the East?
They were all early, though.
Not all of them. He won one in Miami.
That was so early in his career. He was only
how many MVPs?
That
wasn't early. Four MVPs.
How many?
He was a decade in the league.
How many? It was before a decade.
66% of the teams the Bucks have played have had a losing record or something like that. It was some stat I found.
I mean, but you can only.
So play now we just gonna be shitting on Giannis because he dropped from number one all time to seventh all time. Well, he's been the lead horse the whole season. Giannis LeBron just got hot.
He's still the favorite, but I think LeBron is making a strong case at the end of the season.
If the season had continued, LeBron would have gotten the award. Now, Giannis is a sexy pick once again, and that's why he's going to get it. Because like you said, LeBron's celebrity plays against him. Unless LeBron averaged a double-double and nine rebounds, then we'd be having a different.
You know another reason why, for me, it's not Giannis? The Bucks have a winning record when he doesn't play. The Lakers are literally the worst team when LeBron doesn't play.
But when you're off the court?
Plus minus?
Yeah, it's almost the same as LeBron, even with that record, even with that sentence you just said.
So you're saying you think LeBron should deserve it or he's going to win it?
If I was a voter.
Mm. Oh, that's what we're talking about. Then we agree then. Yeah, I'm with you.
If I had, because we on Dead End Sports and they say, y'all credible or whatever, and I had a vote,
right?
Oh, LeBron gave my vote.
I'm with you on that then. So I thought you were saying, you give it to LeBron too?
Yeah, no. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I would give it to him. I thought we were saying what's really going to happen. Yeah, he's not going
to
get it.
You would give it to LeBron too?
What
about you?
No, I'd give it to Giannis, but I'll say this. At 35, I've never seen this. I've been watching basketball a long time. I've never seen anybody be this good at this age. And he doesn't have the athletic. You can see he doesn't have the athleticism.
It's not the same.
But even when he came into the league, even his outside shot wasn't like this. He had to tinker and mess around. Now, his free throws have gotten worse.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen.
And did it for Tim Duncan, too?
One day we were talking, and I hate to compare Jordan because there's no comparison in my mind. But I went to look to see what Mike's stats were at 35 when Mike wasn't in the league at 35. Because his last year in Chicago, I think he was 34. Mm. But when you compare Mike at 34, Kobe at 34, and LeBron at 34, their statistics are damn near the same. LeBron is a little bit higher, obviously, in rebounds, but they're damn near the same. Mm. We haven't seen this. So I would tell anybody who's watching LeBron this season, man, take a picture of it, bro, because this we might not ever see it.
Right.
First of all, to play at this level and continue to get better and better, it's phenomenal. Right.
You know, and I'm going to bring somebody else's name into it. That is it, Giannis. But you know, like, this is the least amount of minutes LeBron has played, but it's the most amount of minutes if Kawhi played it.
Okay,
that's crazy.
It is crazy.
Just that. To me, I feel like I'm just adding on.
Wait. So if Kawhi played the same amount of minutes LeBron is playing,
don't do it.
Right
now. Do it. I don't know why he brought the Clippers into this.
Most of his career. And this is the least amount that LeBron has played.
Yeah.
He hasn't been as injured as LeBron, though. I mean, as Kawhi.
Wow. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. But you want to talk about facts? Let's talk about facts.
No, I feel you. And the fact is that LeBron is a test tube baby, and that just goes on to his legend. The fact that he's only gotten one real major injury that lost significant time in a 17-year career.
And at
35, is still able to do the things that he's doing currently.
Kawhi got a lot of people carrying him.
Then why bring up the Kawhi thing?
I'm bringing it up. You haven't figured this out yet.
That's the point guard. That's the forward. He's coming down the court. He's throwing the They do this every week. I watch it and you have to be like, Nick, man, you falling for this shit.
I want to call it out because I like to be bold. Like, this is what I'm really saying.
I'm here for you.
I'm like, come on. Like, where the Kawhi come out of? We was talking about Giannis and LeBron.
No, I know. But I'm just talking about the greatness of LeBron. Because Kawhi's another top five player in the league.
But I'm just saying, it seems like every time we talk about the greatness of LeBron, we got to diminish somebody else who's right there.
No, you're comparing them. I don't think
you can compare because it's obviously two different styles of play. But I think when our kids, our grandkids come, we will talk about LeBron.
Don't we talk about basketball in eras?
You have to, right? Because we
can't necessarily talk about LeBron and Jordan. They didn't play against each other, so we can't see it. It's very hypothetical. But we could talk about Jordan against Larry Bird, Jordan against Magic Johnson. They play completely different games, but we physically saw that. So to physically see LeBron at 35 play against Kawhi, even though Kawhi might be a little bit more broken down, had more injuries, like whose fault is that? That's fact.
I think if Kawhi's playing at 35, we won't see this.
Hell no, we won't.
But
if Kawhi even makes it to 35, I stop short
of comparing guys because even like, and I know we talked about the LeBron and Kobe. I wouldn't compare the two because to me it's like a Benz and a Beamer. Like it both are exquisite cars. Right. You just can't compare the two. Yeah, it's preference. But we might not ever see anything.
Could they play the same position though?
Could I have compared them?
Yeah.
I think it's more style of play than position.
Yeah.
Because LeBron is literally he's a point forward. Kobe was a killer. Like a score first. Like
okay,
it don't matter.
Let me stop you. So why don't you call LeBron a killer? Because I always hear people, and it's not to compare.
Because he's a setup man.
People always compare. Yeah. People never call LeBron
he's more Magic than Jordan.
Yeah, he's more Magic than Jordan, and he's
and
just
that's
a
not
setup
a bad
man.
Thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But Jordan's better than Magic.
Yeah.
LeBron was more passive earlier in his career. He didn't have that killer trait.
He's never had.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never had. Yeah. He's never had that.
In spurts, he had.
I think LeBron's a killer.
I don't.
In spurts, not consistently.
He's more of a killer now than he ever has.
No. I think the best way I ever heard it was he likes to hunt with a pack. He's not a lone wolf.
He's a wolf. He's not a lion.
Exactly. Wolves hunt in packs.
I thought the lioness goes.
No. The lions hunt in packs too. They don't always hunt by themselves.
I guess I need to point to myself and run some discoveries.
But when I look at like the whole Magic Johnson comparison, right? Like and you know the thing that you just said, like every time that we've posed this question, if we take all of the greatest and we had a fantasy draft and I had the number one pick, who am I picking? It's not Michael Jordan. I'll take Magic Johnson. And my reasoning is because it doesn't matter the other four players I have on that squad, they're going to play at a high level.
Because he make them better.
Because he makes them
but
all
see, I'm
better.
But see, I'm going to take Jordan because Jordan will not lose. Mm-hmm. He will drag you, me, Nick, everybody in this room to a championship. He'll make us play better because even when we're slacking off, he'll pick up the slack.
He won't make them play better.
He'll punch him in the face.
Y'all heard that famous story when he said, "Just bring a game."
Yeah,
I think Stephen A. said so.
Yeah,
he's more or less like you said. He's drugged them there. They're not gonna play better because he's like, yeah. y'all ain't.
You have to with MJ,
but Magic makes everything.
Oh yeah, easy. Yeah. I mean, but like you said, it's eras. That '80s era.
That's interesting that you said you won Magic over. You talking about even current players now?
Every single player that's ever played, I'm taking Magic number one.
Jordan all day.
You'll take Jordan?
Once again, yeah.
He'll say Hakeem.
You already know, man.
Or Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, it's BFF. I can't forget about his BFF.
Who you taking?
I'll take Jordan.
Okay.
You taking Jordan?
Yeah, I just.
Y'all got anything else?
I mean, the only thing I say, just, you know, everybody listening and watching, just get your information. don't, you know, be mindful, but don't be fearful, you know. Yeah. And it's a tough time, and we'll get through it, but you just got to take it day by day, you know.
It'll be over in 3 weeks, y'all. Just hanging there. You know, it'll start to subside.
Wash your hands, please.
Yeah.
That's the easiest thing you could do is wash your hands. Yeah. Wash your hands and wash your ass.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to say that, but
just,
some of y'all don't
stay
wash
in the house.
Hands.
If you're dirty, stay
you
in the house.
Ain't no tissue left, so how you gonna wash your ass?
I don't want it. Why is the tissue all gone?
I don't,
you know,
understand.
That's
that
like
part.
The number one place you could like spread bacteria more with paper tissue.
Is it?
Like, yeah.
Well, why is all the tissue gone?
All the tissue is gone.
Because people just hoarding stuff because they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a herd mentality. So yeah. you
get the coronavirus and you got 300 rolls of tissue.
Yeah, you don't need it, but if you see it and see somebody else getting it, you're gonna wanna get it. So you just got to play these things out like a wave. You got to go in before the wave or after the wave, because you're in the wave, it's just going to wash
you out.
You're
going to be grabbing shit that you don't even want.
Yep,
right.
Yep. So you got to beat
everything.
Yep. Yep. So
I got tissue rolls for $20.
They reselling on eBay. I heard that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just be smart and just, you know, understand it's going to take some time, but we'll get to where we're going. As fans, you know, obviously we want to see sports come back, but we want people to be healthy more than anything else.
We got to start covering rec league.
I will say,
pull up at the YSCA.
Hey man, I will say LA I'm upset fitness. Though, because I was interested to see if Zion was gonna get in the playoffs. Wasn't y'all?
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I hate.
I wanted to see if Zion would get rookie of the year.
That's what I wanted to see too.
Not gonna happen.
I think he had a shot.
I think he had a legitimate shot.
Nah, Ja.
I would have been disrespectful to the process
like
if he got it.
If Ja wasn't in the playoffs, I think the race would be a lot quicker.
Yep.
But because Ja took literally the same squad minus Mike Connolly and the head coach to the damn playoffs.
Right. In the West.
Yeah.
Zion, I'm
interested to see about how your boys are going to respond now that they'll have some time to get healthy. Philadelphia.
Oh.
Interested to see how they're going to bounce back.
Ben said he ain't coming back. Ben said he's not coming back?
Yeah, go ahead. What you going to say?
Wow.
He said he's unsure.
Based off of what Jimmy said last year, I don't see him going anywhere.
And you think they get out of first round?
Probably not. And
wow,
they should have got rid of Brett Brown last year based off of what I heard Jimmy say.
Dang.
Based off of what I heard Jimmy say.
I haven't listened to it yet.
I
saw that headline, I was like, he about to say something that I was saying for a while. Man, I'm surprised he held it back this long.
Jimmy talked trash everywhere you go though. So
nah, but it wasn't trash. He was just being real honest, and obviously, like, it was the JJ Redick podcast.
Okay,
so they were teammates too. So
he could relate
exactly. And JJ didn't deny anything.
Wow,
yeah, he didn't necessarily
hold the mic hot.
JJ was like,
wow.
And he was just there listening to Jimmy and not saying that it didn't happen.
That's interesting because that explains why JJ left to go to NO.
No.
It don't explain that.
He'll explain it.
Oh, he'll explain it.
They both explain why they left too.
Okay.
So
I'm about to pop that right now.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys showing up. I mean, I know y'all ain't got much to do. Yeah.
So we are your sports.
Yeah.
Yes, you got a Uno tournament going on.
Be safe, and we'll catch y'all then. We out. Peace.
Peace.
5 G's.